Moments before the Fort Hood mayhem.
There may have been a verbal altercation with another soldier or soldiers.
Violent weather.
I don't know what to do. I've never been in a storm like this.
Letterman's stunner.
It's been great. The network has been great, but I'm retiring.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. Investigators hunting for a motive say a soldier's mental health may be the underlying cause behind his opening fire at Fort Hood, Texas, killing 3 and wounding 16. Army Specialist Ivan Lopez, who took his own life, sought time in Iraq and had been treated for depression and post-traumatic stress disorder.
Friends of Lopez say he was upset and had complained he wasn't given enough time to attend his mother's funeral in Puerto Rico. As military investigators try to pin down what motivated the attack, Fort Hood Commander General Mark Milley says they'll
try to figure out what the trigger event was. There may have been a verbal altercation with another soldier or soldiers.
Followed by gunfire, before heroic acts by a female police officer who confronted the shooter, and a chaplain who shielded soldiers as they escaped. August Skamanka, CBS News, Fort Hood, Texas.
Doctors say 3 critically wounded in the attack are expected to survive. People are picking up the pieces in several states from Texas to the Great Lakes after a string of storms delivered rain, hail, and strong winds, tornadoes in some places. Andrea Lucia of KTVT is in Denton, Texas.
Tornado sirens sounded. Moments later, the storm struck, littering the ground with hailstones.
It was a little terrifying, not going to lie to nobody.
Chris Ismail took shelter in an auto shop.
The hail was coming into the building and it was circling in the building. I've never seen anything like it before.
Haley Ledford was caught out in the open.
By the time I looked back, my whole back windshield was already out.
Her only consolation, knowing her children were out of harm's way.
My kids weren't with me. They would have been sitting on my back seat where all that glass is.
Tornado watches are up today in parts of Mississippi and Alabama. The weather could be a factor over the next few days for crews at the scene of the deadly Washington State mudslide, search official Carrie Stevens.
This weekend we're expecting up to maybe an inch and a half of rain, which can result in about a foot and a half of water rise.
They're still trying to find 17 bodies. FEMA is sending in 20 cadaver dogs to help in the search. Overseas, sophisticated equipment from the United States is now in a remote area of the Indian Ocean trying to pick up sounds from the data recorders on Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. CBS's Holly Williams is in Perth, Australia.
Moving at just 3 miles an hour, the pinger locator can detect the electronic signals emitted by the black box's beacons at depths of up to 20,000 feet. But because it works so slowly, it's only effective in a small area.
And time is running out. The batteries on the aircraft equipment only last about a month, and the jetliner disappeared 4 weeks ago today. It's now up to President Obama as a Senate committee has voted to release parts of a highly critical secret report on post-9/11 interrogations. We're live at the White House with CBS's Peter Mayer.
The administration agrees with that vote, and Steve, an official says the president wants to move the report on waterboarding and other so-called enhanced interrogation into the light. Senate Intelligence Committee Chair Dianne Feinstein describes the findings as shocking.
The report exposes brutality that stands in stark contrast to our values as a nation. It chronicles a stain on our history that must never be allowed to happen again.
Now the White House says parts of the report will be declassified as soon as possible, with portions blacked out to protect national security.
Well, Secretary of State Kerry says the U.S. has to evaluate its role in the Mideast peace process. In Morocco, he says it's regrettable both the Israelis and Palestinians took negative steps this week. He says it's reality check time. In Afghanistan, a German news photographer was shot and killed by an Afghan policeman in her convoy today. An AP reporter was wounded. They're covering the run-up to tomorrow's presidential election, one that figures to test relations with the U.S. There have been Taliban threats of violence against voters. The government says the economy created 192,000 jobs last month, and the unemployment rate was 6.7%. There are signs hard-to-fill jobs are getting more attention.
Companies facing a growing job skills gap are again spending the time and money on training or retraining of workers. Many firms got away from that during the recession.
Training budgets almost went to zero. About half, 50% of businesses do plan to train new hires, especially this year in 2014.
Jamie Womack is with Career Builder, which has the biggest online job site in the country. Jim Krasula, CBS News.
His agent says motor racing champ Michael Schumacher has moments of consciousness and is showing signs of waking from a medically induced coma. Schumacher was critically injured in a French skiing accident more than 3 months ago. A TSA agent says he's embarrassed by all the attention he's getting. Eddie Palacios, on his way to work at Chicago's O'Hare Airport Wednesday, leaped onto subway tracks to help a woman who'd fallen as a train approached.
It wasn't a big deal. I did have faith in the conductor, and I had faith in the orange sweater, too.
His orange sweater stood out. The train stopped in time, and everyone's okay. It's the beginning of the end for a NASA spacecraft that's been studying the lower part of Moon's atmosphere since last fall.
The Lunar Atmosphere and Dust Environment Explorer, or LADEE, spacecraft has already been in a low orbit, but now it's headed down to maybe a couple of miles above the surface. Project manager Butler Hine says it could be hairy.
Flying that low, you never know how close you're going to get.
He says the risk is worth what scientists might learn. LADEE has already accomplished its mission. Whatever they get now is considered a bonus. The spacecraft is due to crash on purpose in about 3 weeks on the far side of the moon. Peter King, CBS News.
On television, a late-night bombshell.
It's The Late Show with David Letterman.
David Letterman broke the news to his Late Show audience that he will retire next year when his contract runs out, capping a record 32 years as a late-night TV host.
It will be, I think, at least a year or so, but sometime in the not-too-distant future, 2015, for the love of God.
Yeah,
in fact, Paul and I will be wrapping things up and taking a hike.
Well, we hope after he leaves The Late Show, Dave continues to start his day with our broadcast. He's taken note of, and today we'll do our time check.
Time on the roundup, 8 past the hour.
A red state senator was a bit red-faced yesterday on Capitol Hill. CBS's Bill Whitney explains.
U.S. senators have busy schedules, so it was bound to happen sometime. Indiana Republican Dan Coats went to a subcommittee hearing Thursday and delivered a lengthy statement on a letter he'd sent to the Indiana National Guard before he was interrupted.
I just got a note saying I'm at the wrong hearing.
Oh, okay.
I've got the right room number. But the wrong hearing.
Well, that would explain why I didn't know anything about this letter.
Coates said, I saw some familiar faces and I thought this was where I should be. Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Running late? Well, you can set your clock to a new atomic clock, which started working yesterday at the National Institute of Standards in Boulder, Colorado. It keeps the nation's official civilian time. And this clock is so accurate, it isn't supposed to lose or gain a second in 300 million years. That's the World News Roundup for Friday. The broadcast is produced by Paul Ferry. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.